after eating lunch together like that. That was hard, wasn't it? I couldn't get into my breath. I was breathing okay, I just couldn't get anything to come out. Anyway, Stan left early today and sick. I know he just didn't like my sermon, that's what it was. No, he was just having some serious allergy reactions and such going on and just feeling so bad. I told Allison when she gets home, I said, "You tell him Robert said you really look bad too." I don't know if that's going to help or not, but we'll find out if she does. It was a great morning. It's nice to know that van is paid off. And we'll be getting that taken care of this week, first thing. We really appreciate everybody coming through like you did. I've got a short lesson. If Tom was here, he'd say amen. Of course, I'm sure Tom is with his mom this afternoon. Sister Lucille will be moved to the Hobbs Street healthcare facility there this week. So we'll be praying for her continually. I know you can go by and see her, but sometimes she probably won't know you, but some days she'll notice you're there, some days she may not. It's just the way it is. But we need to keep her in prayer. You know, it seemed when Henry and I saw her the other day, it seemed that she just didn't look like she was going to make it. And sitting there with Tom then, she just wasn't doing anything, just doing nothing. Wouldn't respond, nothing. And here she is bouncing back asking, "I need some water." And it was just amazing. But then when she broke her hip, when she was like 98, 99, and broke her hip, it's like, you know, most people that age, they break their hip. There is no coming back from that. She came back with a vengeance. She didn't ride her bicycle anymore a mile a day. But she came back from that, and she has hung in there. She's got to be one of the toughest women I have ever known in my life. You don't want to cross Lucille. But I appreciate her. Appreciate all of y'all being here this afternoon. Turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. We had a really good crowd this morning too. That was wonderful. There are three verses I'd like to call to your attention in Proverbs 27. The first one is verse 14. This one is a little bit more lighthearted. I love friends. Friends are wonderful. You know, you got your family. You don't get to choose your family. Your family, they sort of come with the territory. But you do get to choose your friends. And you need to use good judgment in who you choose to be your friends. But when you get a good friend, somebody that cares about you, it's like family, but maybe in some ways even better. If you get somebody that really, really cares you, but even the best of friends can annoy you. Am I right? Of course I am. It's not me, it's just the reality. Even the best of friends can get under your skin. Here's a verse that is where a friend gets under your skin. And I don't know if any of you knew the Bible said this or not. "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." My daddy cursed me many mornings because he woke me up with a loud voice. "Robert, time to get up." When you are in a deep sleep and somebody comes in and starts raising the roof and making all kind of noise, it's like a curse. And you just wish they'd just quiet. Just be quiet. Don't wake me with a loud voice. Well, so here's Bible that's basically saying, even if you're his friend, you shouldn't wake him with a loud voice. Let's be considerate. Be a little nicer. Wake him softly. Wake him gently. See, when I'm preaching and I see some of y'all are asleep, I try not to wake you up with a loud voice. I try to be as kind and careful as I can and not disturb you unless you begin to snore. And then I will try my best not to even disturb you then. But waking one with a loud voice, it is counted. It's like a curse to him. So, good friends, let's not do that either. Okay? Now, that's the little bit of a lighthearted passage for us. Now I want to look at two very serious passages. What do good friends do? Will a good friend let you walk around with a piece of salad stuck in your teeth? Huh? Will a good friend let you walk around with your pants unzipped or your button crooked? You know, will they do that? No. Will a good friend let you go and say nothing to you when they see you're headed toward destruction? Will a good friend let you go on over the bridge? Just the bridge is out and they just let you go on off? Well, you know, he's observant. He'll figure it out. Is that what a good friend would do? Of course not. A good friend is going to care enough to confront. Good friends will confront. Now, we'll get into that more in just a moment. But let me just say this. Good friends will comfort. When you're in pain, when you're hurting, and it may be a broken arm or a broken heart, but when you're in pain, a good friend will comfort you. They will sit there and sometimes saying nothing. Just sit there and say nothing. And that's okay. It is said that when two people can ride in a car together for 100 miles and only maybe speak 3 or 4 words, that's good friends. That's good friends. Now, I'm not talking about when you're mad at each other and you won't talk. I'm talking about you don't feel the need to fill the void with casual chatter. When you can just be comfortable enough with someone to ride 100 miles with them, and if there's nothing really to talk about, just ride along together and enjoy being together. That's a good friend. But when you're hurting, and a good friend knows that, they're going to reach out to you, and they're going to try to comfort you. They're going to do their best to help you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Verse 6. Verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Good friends are going to comfort. They're going to help you through dark days. They're going to be there for you when times are tough. When you're sad, when you're depressed, when there's been a failure, good friends are going to be there with you. Now, they're certainly going to be there with you when you've got a victory, when there's an accomplishment, when there's a celebration. Man alive, you'd be so hurt and disappointed if your good friends didn't show up for that. But you'd be just as hurt if you needed them and they didn't come. Now, I'm going to say this about good friends. Good friends are not mind readers. Good friends are not mind readers. And if you're having a dark day, and if you're having a problem that you need some help with, reach out to your good friend. Reach out to them, because they are not mind readers. And they may not even know. They may not even know that you're going through a hard time. Okay? So you've got to give them a chance to be there for you when you're in need, when you need comfort, when you need encouragement, okay? But now, let's flip this coin over. Let's talk about the confrontation. We all make bad choices. We all make mistakes, lots of them. We don't say the thing we should, or we don't say it in the right way. Sometimes we say nothing when we should say something, and many, many times we say something when we should say nothing. And when we say something, so many times we may have a clear understanding in our own mind what we're trying to say, but we didn't exactly communicate it as clearly as we thought we did. And the result of that can be hurt feelings. The result of that can be harm to somebody. So, you know, we've got to recognize that there are times when we say the wrong thing. We act the wrong way, we do the wrong thing, we mess up. We mess up so much. And a good friend that sees that is going to care enough to bring it to my attention. They're going to care enough to risk my wrath, my anger, my disapproval, or even my rejection. They're going to care enough that they want me to be right. They want me to be saved. They want me to go to heaven. And they know that if I'm sinning and I'm putting my soul in danger, they've got to do something. And so a good friend is going to reach out to me. I mean, the least I can do is help you get a chive out of your teeth. But the best thing I can do for you is help you get ready to go to heaven. That's the best thing I can do. And so when I find myself in sin, then the faithful wounds of a friend are a blessing to me. And it hurts. I don't like admitting when I'm wrong, do you? I don't like admitting when I've made a mistake, do you? I don't want to admit that I've messed up. But a good friend will call it to my attention. And it hurts. But when I've had time to think it through, I realize, oh, he was just being a good friend. Now, everybody brags on you. Everybody says you're doing a great job. Everybody says, oh, preacher, what a great sermon. Or, oh, my friend, you are the best at being a Christian I've ever seen. You do such good things. You are such a good person. You've got your mess together. You are a great person. Be careful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And so you be careful when everybody praises you. Because I guarantee you, you didn't do something worth praise from everybody. Okay? You didn't do that. You're good, but you're not that good. I may be good, but I'm not that good. I guarantee you I'm not. I know I'm not. So if everybody's praising you, maybe something is not right. Maybe something's wrong. So be careful of the deceitful kisses from an enemy. But recognize the faithful wounds of a friend. And then verse 17, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I've got a little thing I do. I've done it for years. If one of y'all comes in and your tie's crooked or your collar's not straight, especially with you guys, I don't do it to the ladies that much, but when I see a guy, you know, and he's got his collar crooked, or I'll grab his collar and straighten up and say, man, you want to look good for the ladies now. Well, I'm just trying to. I want you to look right. I don't want you to be embarrassed. If you're a good friend, you want your friend to look good. And I'm not talking just physical appearance either. I'm talking the best impression. Put your best foot forward. I want you to be, if I'm your good friend, I want you to be acceptable. I want you to look like you belong. I want you to look like one of God's children. Somebody that knows who you are, that you're a child of the King. Not that you're arrogant and strutting around like a rooster, but that you humbly are walking through life, putting your best foot forward, being the best that you can be. And so I want your countenance to be improved. I want it sharp. I want you to make the best impression on the world that you possibly can so that you can lead people to Christ. And so the wise man Solomon is saying, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You help each other. And so desperate is the person who has no one to help them. It is a terrible thing when somebody has no one that cares about them. That's one reason for this Brother's Keeper program, to make sure that everybody has somebody. And in this Brother's Keeper program, hopefully we're building some relationships that we had not built before, and reaching out to some that we have overlooked or not had time to make that effort, but because of this, efforts are being made and people are being touched, lives are being helped. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it's working, and I'm thankful that you're working it. But if we are good friends to each other, we're going to help each other. Just like iron sharpens iron, we're going to help sharpen the countenance of our friends. We're going to try to help each other be as faithful to God and as right with God as we possibly can be. So, just some thoughts about friendship today. We are a family. We are a family of friends. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, but we are also a family of friends. And so let's be friends to each other, be friendly to each other, treat each other the way you want to be treated, sharpen that iron, deal with things that come up, confront, but also comfort. also show compassion. And you know, commiserate is a good word, but give comfort to each other when times are hard and celebrate the victories when things go well. That's what friends do. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're friends. So let's keep on acting like it. I appreciate so much your kind attention this afternoon. If there's been anything that's said that's touched your heart or has made you realize something in your life is not right, we want to give you an opportunity to correct that today. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. If you're already one of His people, as I look around this room, most of you are, then check your heart, check your life, and if there's anything amiss, make it right while you can. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.